SIU President Randy Dunn. First off, it's good to see you again.
You too. Glad to be here.
And you have been a very busy guy on a lot of different levels, including a briefing last week on the effect, the numbers of the stopgap measure.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've been very grateful to receive that stopgap funding, and it will be spread out, of course, over the coming 6 months as money comes into the till. We'll get those checks, but given the source of funds, we do think that we will see that funding. You know, we have this challenge right now.
How
too
much?
Many bills and not enough money.
160?
106,
106
million for
million.
The system. That's right. Now, but remember,
that's SIC&E.
The 160 that you're referring to is if we would add in the stopgap we got in April, which was about 54 million, to this 106 that came at the end of June,
which
right
gets you to the 82%.
That gets us to a roughly 80 to 82% over 18 months. On a normal year, that'd be 80% of a typical base year budget. But it's not over a year. It's over 18 months period. So all of this discussion that we had over the past 6 months about the fact that, you know, as we get into summer, we're going to be in crisis mode. If we don't see something happen, we're going to have state, you know, funding come to the fore. It happened. We have funding that stabilizes us through fall semester, and we're going to replay this same tape come January, pending what happens next, whether it's another stopgap, whether it's a full budget deal, the grand compromise, as they call it. After the election, we'll see. I don't know what it will be, but I can tell you that this carries us, and we have our plan put together for operations that take us into January, but then we're right back in the soup, and we have to figure out something at that point.
That rinse and repeat cycle
is one of the things that's getting old.
That is the part
that really
is wearing, I think,
right.
Because Michael Gouch, the superintendent of schools, literally says, but, you know, we don't have any future past this. And it's interesting because I'm going to get to a point here. all right, so 106, that's split between the two, then the funding that I think came in April that got us to 160.
Yes.
Right. And I was telling people this morning, they were listening, I said, I envision you going through the drive-through the bank
heard,
and countersigning
the reference.
Your check. And the woman, you know, behind the glass of the bank pulls her glasses down and looks over the top and says, where have you been? Right? I mean, it's weird because I transplant me on top of you trying to understand what you have to go through to do this. And, you know, that day at the bank, I know you don't get a written check where you got to countersign it, but you know, you
no,
get that
it,
idea. But see, there's another number. Published report said summer enrollment down 14%, 14% in 2014, 14% this year, you know, around 28%. Online enrollment up 8.9%. And you have been quoted in a number of news sources from this weekend talking about the crisis in confidence of higher education in Illinois.
Yes.
And the numbers that we just talked about from the stopgap, the measures we just talked about from the enrollment of summer, that's not the only components that come together for you to bring you to that statement.
No, that's right. You know, we've been looking at some figures that are telling us, at least telling me, that we do have this crisis in confidence. And, you know, I try to be careful using those terms because you don't want to sound too over the top. But if you look at some indicators, I don't think it's an overstatement. You know, I'd stated publicly that if we could hold our own in terms of loss at SIU Carbondale in enrollment so that we weren't any worse than previous years, we were probably going to end up counting that as a win. I think that's still a possibility, although as we're looking at those early indicators of students who would come in the fall, whether it's coming for registration, making housing deposits, that type of thing, we're going to have our hands full keeping at that same level. You know, our Edwardsville campus has had growth on any given year, fall-to-fall comparison, from 3 to 4%. Each year, and this has been some number of years running, they're going to be lucky this year if they can pull off a 1% growth. That tells me things have changed. But the biggest number that's out there that symbolizes for me that there's something weird going on right now is the fact that, you know, need-based students have to make application for MAP grants. MAP is the need-based funding from the state of Illinois that a kid can use anywhere, community college, public university, private college, anywhere in the state. And if the student has need, you go ahead and make the application for MAP. It's not a difficult thing to do. It's applicable anywhere. And we know that for this fall, MAP applications are down by 18,000. Now, what that's saying is that students and their families, potential students and their families, are just deciding, the heck with it. We know we're not going to go to an Illinois school. They, you know if you qualify for MAP or not. That's not difficult to figure out. So you've got families in the past who would qualify, would go ahead and make the application just to cover that base. Now they're not even applying. 18,000 less MAP applications. That indicates that something's going on here. We've got our students voting with their feet to go other places, or what worries me more, in some cases, maybe not attend when they could.
It's and it's at second C, Randy. The confidence that whether the money will be there, whether they're
getting it. And it takes years to get those kids back.
Right. And once they've gone. And they've gone. And I'm going to pile on now, too, for your confidence issue. Mm-hmm. Why, as far as the system and not just SIU, Christ in Confidence Higher Education, University of Illinois saw summer enrollment decrease for the first time in 6 years.
That's another one of those indicators that things are off here. That we're seeing something take place in front of us now. We kept talking about it, kind of predicting it. If we keep disinvesting in the higher ed system in the state, that we're going to see these outcomes start to take place. And that's another one of those metrics, if you will, to say that people are figuring it out and doing other things and going other places.
Here's the thing. This past weekend, there were a lot of parents on the campus of SIU. I got a chance to meet and speak with a few of them.
Good.
Incredible. The first lady I met, her name was Mary. She's from a suburb of Chicago. She's here with her daughter, mm-hmm. who wants to take track.
Yes.
Who wants to shot put, who wants to throw the hammer. Right? She's saying, well, what do you think? I said, if you're talking about track and field and you want the best for your daughter, SIU is the
place.
This
is the spot.
Right?
This is the spot.
She got to meet Deanna Price. They're there. She said, I kind of felt sorry for the math person. I think they were sitting over there by themselves. But the business of college and the engineering department were loaded.
Right, right.
It's interesting from someone who, she was a graduate, by the way, graduated in 1980 wants her daughter to come back.
Good.
It's interesting to see that outside perspective when someone has no filter and just starts telling you and talking. And we talked literally almost 2 hours about her experience at SIU. And she had a big smile on her face about the prospect.
Mm-hmm.
But after you and I talked, that seems to be the exception rather than the rule.
Right, right.
And so what do we do next? We have these issues right now because, well, here's the other thing. You've really got two issues. What I call internal.
Do I need to write this down, Tom?
No, no.
Okay.
The way I see it, you've got two areas, everything else. You've got internal marketing, the way that you talk and relate and lead to the largest employer in Southern Illinois. And then you've got the presentation, the face, for your clients, your customers, and their parents.
Yes.
As far as morale and portraying the university as a school of higher education, a research department, somebody that we can put you on a career engineering that will keep you there and happy the rest of your life. You've got two tunes you've got to play.
That's right. You know, one of the biggest challenges when you're in financial retrenchment is keeping up that esprit de corps, that morale among your people, because it can sink like a rock very quickly. And we've got that. I mean, let's be honest. It's not to say that people are giving up on SIU. That's not what I mean. But you look at one hit after another, people who have invested their careers in higher education, in doing this work, and, you know, coming to this point and wondering if anybody really cares, if the state of Illinois wants to keep making that investment, if what they've chosen, you know, for their life's work still has meaning. And, you know, what I see as an important responsibility is to try to keep people buoyed. This is not going to be something that lasts forever. We still want to show that we're willing to invest in our people and do things that we need to do to make them successful, whether it's a staff member, whether it's a researcher, no matter whom it is. Because if we start losing our human capital, that's yet one more thread that starts unwinding from the sweater, and we're seeing some of that. Not quite as much at Carbondale as we have at Edwardsville in the School of Medicine in Springfield. But many of those individuals who can go do other things at other places, particularly if they're not locked in to the area geographically because of family or having been here many, many years, those people are going. And the human capital in times like this can go to the exits, and that hurts the institution. On the external face, the work just has to continue there. We've had a great deal to do, as you know, in terms of how we market the university, the message that goes out, where we go for our students. You've heard me talk many times about the fact that at some point in time, and I don't know when this was, it's been in the last 15 years or so, we kind of wrote off this southern half of Illinois. If you think of Interstate 72 going from west to east that runs from Quincy over to Danville, if you take that southern half, the inverted triangle that is the southern half of Illinois, we used to just scoop up high school graduates from so many of those towns. The ones I just named, the Centralias, Salems, Vandalias, Effingham.
The bread and butter.
Those were the bread and butter students of SIU Carbondale. And somewhere we got a way of going after that group. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm beating up on our recruiters. These people go everywhere. They spend long hours. They work hard. But somewhere we started to think of ourselves in a different way and move away from this notion of being the regional institution for Southern Illinois. And that's not to say we don't do research. Absolutely we do. But we serve a dual role. In addition to the research enterprise that is SIU Carbondale, we're also the regional school for a big chunk of the state of Illinois, and we've got to get back to that and get those students back to Carbondale if we're going to ever work our way out of this. So you've got all of this messaging, sending our recruiters different places, working better on social media and that type of thing. We'll see where we get.
You'll look into that SIU Ambassadors program that used to exist.
Yes, yes.
That to me is always, I'm big on second order of effect.
Yes.
And third order of effect. You've got a representative in every town every day that is a former SIU. It's really a great idea, and it went the way. All right, in the harshest effect, in the harshest way, looking at financials and SIU, Nietzsche, that which does not kill us make us stronger? Does that which does not kill us
make us
stronger?
Do you want me to say yes or no?
No, I don't. Well, because, quite frankly, I'm not so – this came to my mind that there – I mean –
yeah, well, let me say this.
You get beat up, you either get up or you lay down.
Well, that's right. So let me say this. There is a window that's provided. What is the old line that maybe relates to this? Crisis creates opportunity. That's Mayor Emanuel's line, I think, in Chicago, right? So if you look at this.
Never let a guy go crisis.
That's my line right there. So you've got a situation here, particularly at SIU Carbondale, where we do need to go through and look at tightening operations, clearing out underbrush, looking at ways we can streamline, taking a look at the academic programs and looking at those that continue to have viability and those that are going to be challenged, and make some tough decisions about all of that going forward. I would suggest to you that it's the case, and everyone at SIU knew we were going to have to go there no matter what. You can't come into this job as I did now about 2.5 years ago and not see that there's work to be done in tightening the operations. But you don't want to have to do that with blunt instruments lopping off large pieces of the operation without doing it in a thoughtful way, kind of a comprehensive way to think about how you make your decisions and all of that. But if there is something here, it's forcing that review and that decision-making on how we do what we do. Now, you work on these things, in my view, more with a scalpel than a sledgehammer. Because if you make a mistake and take something away, you're going to have a very hard time getting it back. But we are at the point where we need to do reviews around the non-academic side of the house, and a lot of that's been going on, obviously, to deal with this budget crisis, as well as now on the academic side, looking at the academic programs we offer, figure out which ones are in good shape going forward, which ones maybe don't have the enrollment that they need to, where we need to potentially do some changing. And we're going to now spend this year at the Carbondale campus working on that side of it. We've done a lot on the non-academic side already. Now we've got to shift gears to the academic side and undertake that same type of thing.
All right. You literally taking a story from last week and say, are we going to spend $300,000, $350,000 on an algae bloom in the lake?
I mean, that's a tough one for me, man.
Right? I mean, that was the first thing I thought too, Randy. That, I mean, I tried. I'm sorry, but this is the way I work. I pretend I'm you.
You're trying to balance competing interests, and I'll probably get myself in trouble on this. We are not in a position to spend $300,000 to do work on that lake. And by the way, we're not breaking any laws when algae is sitting out
I'll play devil's advocate. Well, you got to, President, because Campus Lake, it's a matter of public safety. So I'm playing devil's advocate.
Well, if it was a matter of public safety, we'd be forced to do things there that we're not being forced to do. Somehow we've gotten this thing out there about Campus Lake that whenever there's algae in it, we've got to shut down, we've got to do these
things. Echoed off
Florida. What the law demands is much less than what's going on right now at Campus Lake. However, to your point, Campus Lake is a signature area of our campus. We are in the high season as you go through spring and summer of visitors coming to the campus. There are a tremendous number of people who walk that lake every day. I wish I could say, I was one of them. I don't do that, even being so close to it. But we have great use of that facility on the campus. Even though we don't have it to spend, we're going to go ahead and, put money forward to try to mitigate some of that algae growth there, get it smelling a little better, and have it as a signature piece of the campus that gets used every day.
I see this as a microcosm of one decision after another. Maybe not all of them are $300,000.
No,
maybe one's $1,000, and maybe $3,000 and a $10,000. But the steady drip fills
right.
the bucket or empties
That's
it,
right.
as the case
That's
may
right.
be.
That's right.
And the reason I used that was to because
right.
you've got to prioritize. And you've
right.
said that many times. And which brings us to another subject. Because while you're trying to keep the boat afloat, you still have a group that wants to see diversity initiatives enacted.
Of course.
You've started talking about this with the board as
yes.
well.
Yes. And we're going to move forward on it. Coming out of last fall, where we saw some things going on at a school not too far from us, University of Missouri, our board said, we don't, and rightly so, by the way, we don't want to be sitting here, kind of twiddling our thumbs or not showing that we want to be responsive to that and what we can do at the board level, to provide support for this and build a more diverse and inclusive institution. The board, though, doesn't run the campuses. They're not in a position to be writing diversity plans.
They develop policy.
They develop policy broadly. But they said there are some things we can probably do to, to help provide some lift under this. And that's then what they worked on over the course of the last 6 months. And had a tentative adoption of it at the May meeting here in Carbondale a few months ago. And then last week, when they met in July, put the final touches on a set of initiatives, about 14 or 15, not going to cost a great deal of money, but to say throughout the system, this is something we value and want to support. And hopefully from that, people will see that, we're trying to be in the national conversation about this stuff,
right.
that we're trying to play our role and push out there as a place that's welcoming to all kinds of students. We'll see where we go. But what's bothersome, we even got beaten up on that in some quarters. And I said, I told the board when we met in Springfield last week, I told the board, you don't need to apologize for these initiatives. They may not be the perfect set of things to move forward with. There's always more that can be done. But I said, instead of, worrying that, we may have some parties taking issue or beating us up for not doing enough or not having it planned the right way or whatever else, I said, don't apologize for it. You're taking on a set of activities here, initiatives, that are going to provide the purpose you want provided to show the importance of this in the university community. And I said, let's move forward with it and see where we go. We're in this period where a lot of people want to make the perfect the enemy of the good. And I've always been a person where if we can get some traction, make some improvement, get a few wins, let's move forward in that way, as opposed to waiting and planning and trying to perfect, and 1 year later be sitting here not having done a darn thing.
Well, here's the thing, Randy, and you said this once before, and it caught my imagination. It's in our DNA already.
Yes, it is. It is part of SIU Carbondale.
And I can tell you, being a lifelong resident of Southern Illinois, lifelong literally, where granddad said, "Tomboy, you don't want to go over SIU with all them hippies.
Right.
Over
right.
smoking dope. It's not a place for you, boy." All right. Then I had my first trip in junior high because my librarian at junior high was a SIU grad. And I go to my first trip to Morris Library. Mm-hmm. And that's not what granddad told me was there. It was not what was there.
Right.
All right. And now years of me working and knowing about SIU, I know that Bill Norwood. I can literally go down a list of people. It's been this way for a long time. SIU has been an example setter for a great many people, and you and I are out of time again. It happens every time.
I know, but we've got to figure out a way to maneuver through this, and beating up on the institution is not going to get us anywhere. We've got to come together, figure out what works, move it forward, and over time we get there.
Did I mention that it's number one employer in Southern Illinois?
Oh, I think that's the case, yes.